Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and we're here just another time. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're here. We'd like to say Happy New Year to everybody, and we thank God that we're here. We made it to 2014. And so it's good to be here. Hope everyone had a nice gatherings during the holiday season, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever holidays that people were off of work and family gatherings and all. So we thank God that we're here, and hopefully you had a safe end of 2013 and a happy beginning, happy new year, the beginning of the year 2014. So it's good to be here. We thank God for all of you, our Blog Talk friends and followers, and also our LinkedIn connections and friends and followers, our Facebook friends and followers, and our Twitter listeners and followers. Thank God for you. So we thank God that we're here, a brand new years of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we are glad to be here. Thank God for his mercy that endureth forever. And so God is faithful and just, and we thank God for that. So we know that we're living in the last days, so we're just so grateful to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God, which is the mirror, and you want to see yourself in the eyes of God, as God would see you when you look in the mirror. So you don't want to be a forgetful doer, but you want to be a doer of the word. You want to forget how you look. If you don't look right, you want to make corrections and be like God would have you to be. So we're thankful for that. And we've been in the word of the Lord, talking about miracles on the last few weeks, up into the 18th of December was the last time that we came to you with Truth Ministry, and the first, the 25th, was on a Wednesday, and then also January 1st was on a Wednesday. So here we are back today on January the 8th, 2014. So it's good to be back. So we were talking about miracles. I believe we left off in the 7th chapter of the book of Mark, and we also were talking about the accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ when they were on the ship and they saw Jesus walking on the water, walking on the sea. They were afraid of him. They thought he was a spirit, and they cried out. And so these things, healings took place. Devils were cast out. Even afterwards, when he came to the other side, the devil was cast out of one's daughter. The Syrophoenician woman was made whole also. So we have various accounts of things that happen after, Jesus came to the other side of the sea or the lake, and those miracles which he had performed. So he's continuing to do them. So we thank God that we're here. And as we do say and try to bring you up to date at times, we know that we are living in the last days. So we thank God for it. And there we have been having Arctic air blast and Arctic air blast over much of the United States. So we know that, nothing we could do about it. So we're beginning to come out of it. And so we thank God for that. So it's just dangerously cold and inclement weather. Many flights were canceled. And God's weapons are the elements. You read in the 38th chapter of Job, he's got treasures of snow and ice reserved against the day of judgment and battle. So he doesn't need an atomic bomb. He doesn't need missiles or none of that stuff, but his weapons are the elements. So all he got to do is let it snow. So we know while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat and day and night shall not cease. And then so he made a covenant that he's never going to destroy the earth anymore by water. This is after the flood, and that scripture that I just read, quoted, is in Genesis 8 and 22. So the token of the covenant which he made that he's never going to destroy the earth anymore by water is the rainbows that we see. Many times we see beautiful rainbows after the rain, and only God himself could do that. So we thank God. So we're continuing on today talking about miracles and in the Gospels. And so our theme, we are still talking about the Godhead. So God is who is God, who is the head of all things. There is only one God, and him we are supposed to serve. So like I said before, we honor leadership, but we're serving God. So we shouldn't put so much allegiance. Too many times people are believing in men more than they are God. There's people so believe in men, and men so prop themselves up for people to have faith in them and to look to them, and they're so important. You can't pay them enough for the job that they do. All they are is an under-shepherd. But God doesn't need a person that's arrogant and proud and all that. He can get rid of you and raise up somebody else. So, I mean, we are not that important that he can't make it without us. This is the way that the prophet Elijah felt, that he was the only one left. When Jezebel had him on the run, God let him know, I have 7,000 having bowed to Baal or kissed his image. So God never left himself without witness. So he is going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to use men to do it, or the human family. Some people don't like that term. The Bible was written in masculine gender, but many times when you talk about wisdom and you talk about understanding, when you read in the book of the Proverbs, her, take hold of her understanding and wisdom, her, she is thy life. You know, it's in the feminine gender, so it doesn't matter. I mean, we are male and female. We are one. In the fifth chapter of Genesis, he created male, man, Adam, and he called, the Bible said he called their name, he created man. Male and female created he them. And the writer goes on to say he called their name Adam. So we're talking about the man and the woman, who was the human family, the beginning of the human family, Adam and his wife Eve. So it matters not. We don't get stuck on that. You know, just like James Brown had a song out, it's a man's world, but it would be nothing without a woman or a girl. So it's, God made it that way. He said that the man would rule over the woman, and she would have, her sorrow would be greatly multiplied in childbirth. I mean, so these are just things that God himself done, and nothing we can do about it. But we are still equal, and you should have respect one to another. So we thank God for that. And so in the world to come, we are going to be just like God, neuter gender, neither male nor female, but be as angels. So, I mean, we are how God made us. That's how we are right now. And God made the woman for the man. And so God was the one who established marriage. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be cleaved to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So we know what makes two people one is the sex act in marriage. The man and the woman are one flesh. So it matters not. I'm not scared. I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter about what law states and the government pass and this same-sex marriage stuff. That's what was why Sodom and Gomorrah was going, got destroyed, because they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceeding. I believe in Genesis, the 13th chapter, and the 19th chapter of Genesis, and the 18th chapter is where Abraham interceded, and the 19th chapter of Genesis where God sent down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife, Jesus even refers back to her, or refers to her. He makes the statement, remember Lot's wife. So she looked back and became a pillar of salt. So she is an example, the example that you don't want, or I don't want, and that is the example of belief, which is the worst sin in the whole world. This is why they couldn't enter in, the children of Israel. The word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard him. And then the Hebrew writer says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So the Bible says, as it is heard, said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So in the 95th Psalm, talked about the provocation of day of temptation in the wilderness. Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So they didn't believe. That is the worst sin in the whole world, is unbelief. So you can't marry the same gender. And then we're not bashing nobody, because everybody is in the same category. Liars and adulterers and fornicators and murderers and whoremongers and idolaters, laters, and the whole, everybody. All unrighteousness is sin. So people can be arrogant if they want. A woman having a girlfriend and don't want a husband, or a man having another man and don't want a wife. I mean, you can be by yourself, fine. You can be by yourself if you're a male. You can be by yourself if you're a female. But it's abomination in the sight of God if you are a liar, if you're an adulterer, if you're a fornicator, if you're a murderer, if you're a thief, if you idol worshiper, it's all abomination in the sight of God. And surely you can't procreate. Two men can't procreate, or two women can't procreate. So it's against nature. And so now we find out these are the last days, and people are doing these things and have no shame in their game. But you got to remember, Jesus talked about hell. He talked about weeping and gnashing of teeth. He talked about torment, where the worm dies not and the fire is never quenched. So that'll be horrible for people who have not been born again, people who want to do their own thing. They'll be crying out and forever. Forever. They won't get out of that lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They won't get out of there. So it'll be a sad day. So they can go ahead and have their man if they're a man, have their woman if they're a woman, but they will pay. So God is not playing with nobody. He's not intimidated by nobody. He knows what is in man. This is what the Bible said. Jesus, he didn't need to testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So this is what we even mentioned about before, I think on last week when he was the disciples were trying to find fault, the Pharisees rather, of the disciples eating with unwashed hands. Jesus let them know that's not what defiles a man. You eat whatever you eat is going to come out of the draw. In other words, what goes in your mouth, you know where it's going to come out at. You are normal, but what he's talking about, what comes out of a man is what defiles a man, and what he's talking about, what comes out of your heart, evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, thefts, all these things that come out of your heart, within your heart, that is what defiles you. So people, because, I mean, why you got to come out of the closet if it's the right thing to do? I mean, that's ridiculous. You need to stay in the closet. So it doesn't matter. All unrighteousness is sin. So I'm not just bashing. I'm bashing liars and the whole sin, period. God is against sin. This is why Jesus died for our sins. So he came to save sinners. So all unrighteousness is sin. So it doesn't matter when are the liars going to come out? When are the whoremongers and adulterers and murderers and thieves and idolaters? When are all these people are going to come out? So, I mean, it's all in the same category. It is sin. So we thank God. That's what the Bible says, that for the wages of sin is death. You're going to get paid. You're going to receive, you ain't going to be no minimum wage. You're going to get a wage. You're going to get a hefty wage for sin. The wages of sin is death. Cost of living, cost of dying is going to be included in. I mean, you're going to get paid for your deeds that are done in your body. So it behooves you to be born again. So that's why we let people know that men should repent. And this is what Apostle Paul was saying in the 17th chapter of Acts. He was talking about, to the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship. You know, I suppose you're superstition. God who made the heavens and the earth, you know, he's not far from none of us. He said, that's why he went on to say, in him we live and move and have our being, and of your own poet. So he was just saying, we're made of unblood. Of one blood, you know, at the time of this ignorance, God did wink, but he wants men to repent, men everywhere to repent. So this is why the gospel was preached and still is being preached, why Jesus came to give his life. He was made a sin offering. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so even now, he's already died. He appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So we have not a high priest, the Hebrew writer says, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he says, there, if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, which means we went through the book of the Hebrews. Jesus is not going to go back to the cross to die again. He died once. He's not going to die again. He ever liveth to make intercession for us according to the will of God. So he's pleading and praying and interceding through people now. So this is why God and this is a fulfillment of the word of the Lord, that knowledge shall be increased. So we have these various methods where we can reach out to people, even in social media, instant messaging. I mean, 20 years ago or 30, it's like the Flintstone age. We used to watch when we were children. Who would have thunk it, as we would say? Some people don't like for you to use that terminology. Who would have thought? Most everyone would be walking around with their own phone, their own little computer in their hand. It is nothing but the fulfillment of the word of God. And so God's word is true. So people, some don't believe. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, the writer goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. This corruptible must put on corruption, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, that death is swallowed up in victory. So the writer goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, Apostle Paul wrote to the church in his second letter to the church at Corinth, we persuade men. So we haven't seen nothing yet. It behooves us to believe God. So people can be arrogant if they want. It is not going to be funny at all. No joke at all. So we thank God for his word, and we're able to get into the word of the Lord. And so I'd like to also say that I'm not out there alone. No prophecy, Peter said, of the scriptures of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men spake, of men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So I'm connected or ordained elder of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, a PA of W, from headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana. So we're not out there by ourselves. So thank God, truth, this is the truth when it is rightly divided. So our organization has been around quite a long time. So at this particular time, our organization, the presiding bishop is the Bishop Charles H. Ellis III. So we thank God for the teachings that we have received down through the years, and especially our first presiding bishop was the Bishop Honorable Thomas Garfield Haywood, G.T. Haywood, we call him, Garfield Thomas Haywood, G.T. Haywood. And God gave that man more revelation, so we understand the revelation of the ages. So you don't want to be connected to a man, as we say. You got to be connected to Jesus. You got to be in a local ministry. Granted, you do. God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Psalm 68 and verse 6. So that is the government of God. You be in a local ministry. You're not out there by yourself, but you better be connected to Jesus, not to a man. So we thank God for that. So we're going to move on here today, or we want to continue. Those are just some things to keep in mind. So we're living in a wicked world. We haven't seen nothing yet. We better believe God, because when God takes his church out of here, he's going to pour his wrath out. And so you can believe it or not, but it'll be too late. You are left here. So that's why you got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. And I believe on last time I was listening back at my broadcast, and I made mention about that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, talking about Jesus. And I think I said Matthew 24, but actually St. Luke 24 and 44. And thus it behoove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is Jesus talking in the 24th chapter of Luke. 24th chapter of Luke. He said, I send the promise of my Father. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. And like I've said, Luke wrote Luke. He is the beloved physician. He wrote the book of St. Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So thank God for that. So, okay, we're going to continue on here. We're talking about miracles, and we know we're going to be this is going to be ongoing for a little space here. So in those days, the multitude being great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, this is in Mark, the 8th chapter, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and having nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And that word divers means many. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? The question they asked. And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples to sit before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. They reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not? Yet neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, ye see not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full, of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. He said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men walking as trees walking. And he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man, him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So we see here, we had another miracle a couple of miracles that he performed, actually. That is the feeding of the 4,000, the multitude that he fed here again. He fed them. Then also the miracle that he did on the blind man. So we can see here as he continued to work miracles. Yeah, that was the miracle of the 4,000. I just wanted to make sure of that. So we go on to here. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. So you got to understand who he is, what he said. Nobody could say nothing against him. They couldn't. And John's writing, even in one of the writings that we read here in the book of Mark, they wanted to come and, I believe it was in this book of Mark, they wanted to come and get him and make him a king. But he escaped because it was not time for that. He is a king. So the devil just wants to mock you and you know, to throw things all out of order. But God is in control. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. So he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. So in other words, it couldn't be no brighter white. There appeared unto him Elias, which it was Elijah, and Moses. With Moses, they were talking with Jesus. Now, Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that covered, that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. As they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising of the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught? But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come. They have done unto him whatsoever they listeth, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, Why question ye with them? What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowing foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and to the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why cannot we cast him out? He said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. This is Jesus. Now he taught his disciples and said unto them, Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. They understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. I guess not. I mean, you're talking about dying. You're going to die. You're going to be delivered in the hands of men. You're going to be killed. And you're going to be rise again the third day. I mean, people are not talking that way nowadays. They're talking like they are so important. But he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. I didn't come to destroy lives, but I came to save. I came to give my life a ransom for many. This was the mission of Jesus. So he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? Now, he already knew. They held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Now, you got to know, in the 21st chapter of St. John, I believe it is, after Peter, Jesus rose from the dead, Peter and them went fishing. They went, and Jesus was out there, told them to cast their net on the right side of the ship. They couldn't draw the fish in for the multitude of the fish. And he had asked them previously, just before that, he said, children, have ye any meat? They didn't catch nothing all night. They knew it was the Lord. So, and anyway, so he said to them, come and dine. He had fish, he had cooked for them, and had fish and bread. So anyway, he said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So Peter got grieved after he had said it the third time. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. So understand my point, what I just said. Jesus, he is the Lord. He knows all things. So he knew. He brought this question up. So he sat down and called the 12, said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of these, of one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, and in the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not, neither the fire is quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter hard into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and their fire is never quenched. And he goes on here, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. Remember, we say pay very close attention and repetition. Everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, have peace one with another. So it's so very important here. So you got to be careful. And so literally, he's not saying that. He's making illustration. So in other words, you need to get yourself together. You need to make your eyes look in the right place, your hands be in the right place, your feet go to the right place is what you got to do. You got to get, because we got to give an account for the deeds done in our bodies is what we have to give a count. So you ain't got to, your eye ain't the problem. Your heart got to be right, because your eye is the camera anyway. You see with your brain, your eye is the camera. So you got to have your heart right. Like I mentioned on last week, that is the important part, because he was just talking about what not what goes in the belly, because they were eating with unwashed hands. But what's important, not saying that you don't wash your hands, that's not the point, but the point that he was making, because some people just try to make find fault with everything, but the point being was is you got to watch your heart, because your heart is not right. Things come out of your heart, and people are lying and lying and saying God told them to do this and to do that. God ain't told them to go kill nobody. That is a lie from the devil, from the hell hole itself. So, and then they're lying on God, and, you know, to turn people away from God is what that does. So we go on here, and he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resorted unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees come to him and ask him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? So they, and so that's a, that is a very good question, because I had never really thought about it until some things were happening, to really look into the subject of divorce. And God is, he doesn't hate divorce. He never hated divorce. But you read even back in the Old Testament, the Lord hateth putting away. So you can't divorce what's never been put away. So putting away is what happens first. So he was saying that they said, they asked the question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Not to divorce. But putting away means you're not coming together. So God wants you to come together. So you can't be married and just stay apart and you know, not come together. So that is, coming together is a sex act. You can't, you know, deprive one another, or, as the writer says, defraud not one another, you know, except for, with consent of fasting and prayer. And then come together again, that Satan tempt you not from your incontinency. So that is what that is talking about. So they tempted him by asking him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain, or two, that's what the word twain means, shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So he's talking about woman and man, or man and woman. You cannot marry the same gender. You a woman, in the sight of God, you can't marry another woman. If you are a man, in the sight of God, you cannot marry another man. And it matters not. These jellyback preachers and pastors and people are scared to stand up. It goes against the grain. When Jesus preached and taught, it went against the grain, because he got to the heart of the matter. He didn't beat around the bush, but he got right to the point. So like they taught us, one of our late bishops, he said, you haven't preached until you made them mad. So you're gonna, the truth is going to make you free. So this ain't no gospel that you're scared to hurt people. It goes against the grain. Tell me the truth. If I'm acting like I came out of hell, straighten me out, because I don't want to go to hell, is the point. I mean, you got to do what's right, and you can't be afraid to tell somebody you're wrong. You need to get right. We can tell people folks are lying or a thief or a murderer. It's amazing. Society have no problem with that. They can prove beyond a reasonable doubt, and they're letting people get away with murder, just like Trayvon Martin was murdered. Murder is a legal term. He was killed by whatever that guy's name is. I can't even think of his name, down in Florida. And he killed him, but the jury is so stupid. Based on the evidence, they found him not guilty. And they know he killed that man. But, so they're not outraged over that. He actually took a man's life. But you let somebody say something about two women together or two men, then people are all bent out of shape. Oh, my God, you're gay bashing. And there's no such thing as a gay. A gay means to be happy. A homosexual is not a gay. They're perverted. And the Bible talks about perverting the gospel of Christ. So they're not gay, perverted. And God is against that, and it matters not who don't like it. And if you don't get right, if you're a liar or adulterer, and homosexuality, fornication is the branch that falls under, because a fornicator is someone having sex with someone that they're not married to. So you can't marry another person that is of the same gender as you are. In other words, a male can't marry a male. You can do what you want as far as the state or the government pass a law, but as far as God is concerned, you're not married, because God is not, he don't recognize that kind of foolishness. God is not buying that. He's going to buy the truth and sell it not, is what we need to do also. So male and female, even 30 or 40 years ago, people would have asked these kinds of things. And why is this coming about? Because this is letting us know we're living in the last days. They want to, they don't care. You can't stop that movement. As individuals, they can get saved. As an individual, you can become a child of God. You could become a son of God. You could become a saint of God by repenting of your sins. Repent is the message that was preached on Pentecost and now on by the apostles whom Jesus chose. That is, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're speaking another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives you to utter. So right is right and wrong is wrong. It haven't changed, so it matters not. I don't care about no Supreme Court. What God says trumps everybody. That's what we got to keep in mind. So these so-called scared preachers that you can't, if Jesus couldn't bring people together, how is some of these, our leaders of our time, call themselves bringing people together? You ain't bringing nobody together. If everybody ain't saying the same thing, bringing people under your arms that don't even believe the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and if you bidding them Godspeed, you're letting them go to a devil's hell instead of telling them the truth, letting them know that they must be born again of water and of the Spirit. You're not even letting them know what the apostles taught. So anyway, so he goes on here. In the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. He said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And so he's making this plain. So there were reasons for divorcement, but the thing of it is that till death do you part. There are other reasons. So there are marriages that have never been a marriage, and so what you would call, we say in nowadays, annulment. There are reasons for a marriage to be annulled even today. So they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and the disciples rebuked those that bought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer little children, come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So he's talking about the condition of your heart. You got to open up your heart up to God. Took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. So we can see these things that the master was doing. So we go on here, and when he was come forth in the way, there came one running to him and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." He answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell that thou hast, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me." He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" They were astonished. The disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." So we got and then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." So he said, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake or and the gospel's, that he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." So we thank God these miracles that we are continuing to talk about as we go through these gospels, and we're going to move on, and so we will talk to you again on next time. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Thank you.